The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us now pray the prayer of the day together. Almighty and most merciful God, your bountiful goodness fills all creation. Keep us safe from all that may hurt us, that whole and well in body and spirit, we may with grateful hearts accomplish all that you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord. What does it take for us to recognize that life is a gift and the only possible response is gratitude? Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, and on his way, 10 lepers draw near to Jesus. Approaching, but keeping a safe distance, the 10 call out and say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." From the margins of society, from the edge of living anything that looked like a human life at all, 10 lepers cry for mercy. And 10 lepers receive what they ask for. "Go and show yourselves to the priests," Jesus tells them. "Go and show your skin to the priests and receive certification of your cleansing for restoration to society." The ten go. While they are on their way, they discover that they are clean and healed and restored. 10 lepers cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." 10 lepers are told, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And 10 lepers are healed. Then one of them, Luke tells us, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. The leper praised God and thanked Jesus. He thanked Jesus. You wouldn't think that that would be an odd occurrence in the Bible, but it is. This is the only place in the whole Bible where gratitude is expressed to Jesus. In hundreds of verses, God is thanked. But only here does someone give thanks to Jesus. To this one leper who has returned praising God and giving thanks, Jesus declares, "Get up and go on your way. Faith has made you well." There's an undertone here. Only those who know the gift of gratitude live whole lives. All the 10 lepers received healing of their skin. But this one leper receives wholeness and completeness deep down within. His gratitude makes his life complete. Without gratitude, something crucial is missing. What does it take to recognize that life is a gift? And the only possible response is gratitude. It's been a long while, and I wish I could remember the source, but I came across a story a long time ago about a man who began his ministry in a church in the Deep South. During his first year as the pastor, he was visited by three men inquiring about one of his members, a widow who lived by herself. Was she getting out? Were her friends in the area keeping up with her? Was there anything that they needed to know? The three men explained the situation, gave him their cards. One lived on the East Coast, one on the West, and one smack dab in the middle. And he was told to call them if there was anything they could humanly do to make her life happier or easier. The three men visited each year and never showed up empty-handed because their wives had been picking up gifts for her through the year. The men arranged and paid for a company that mowed her yard, trimmed the bushes, checked the tree branches, and cleaned the gutters. One of the men prepared the women's tax return each year. Another contracted repairs on her house or made them himself when he was there. Sometimes they helped her shop for a new car. They were meticulous in checking on everything and anticipating every difficulty the woman might face. Each year, they visited the president of the local bank branch in town just in case there had been a change in leadership so that they could pass out their cards, explain that the leaders were to notify them of any worldly need that this woman might have, and they explained to the bank president the situation. The situation was this. The three men had been three soldiers standing on the ground floor of a house in Normandy just a few days after D-Day, when a German potato masher grenade came bouncing down the stairs. A fourth soldier threw himself on the grenade, absorbing most of its impact. That man was this woman's husband. The three men lived because of his death. After the war was over, the three men began making their way to the Deep South on a regular basis to make sure that this man's widow would lack for nothing that they had within their power to provide for her. They had been doing that for more than 20 years when the pastor started his ministry at that congregation. Isn't that a remarkable story? I'll tell you another remarkable thing. There were 19 soldiers on the first floor of that house in Normandy. 18 of them were spared by the action of that one soldier's leaping honor grenade. And after the war was over, 3 of them made their regular pilgrimages to the Deep South. What does it take for us to recognize that life is a gift, and the only possible response is gratitude? After Jesus heals the lepers, after such a miracle, shouldn't more have come back to express their gratitude? Jesus gave them their lives back, and they are nowhere to be found. But who knows where those lepers were? They had just gotten their lives back. They had the chance to return to their families, to their loved ones. Everything that they had lost from their disease could now be restored to them. We certainly expect them to return and offer their thanks for this incredible gift from Jesus. But in their moment of joy, can we really fault them for being so overwhelmed with possibilities that they missed returning? Now, certainly, the other 15 soldiers were not ungrateful for the life that they were allowed to keep living and were excited for the chance to return to their families, to their loved ones. We can create a list of a whole host of reasons why the rest of the soldiers didn't join the 3 each year. But this is less about them than it is about the 3 who are like the one leper, the ones who don't hesitate to show gratitude. What does it take for us to realize that life is a gift and the only possible response is gratitude? I think a start is to recognize that we can never thank Jesus enough for the grace that we receive on a daily basis. That grace is so full and big that it would take more than a lifetime to say thank you. But there's nothing stopping us from using our lifetime to do just that. The basic Christian response to Jesus is gratitude. Gratitude for the gift of life, gratitude for the world, gratitude for the dear people God has given us to enrich and grace our lives. We can participate in the basic Christian experience of gratitude to God for God's love in Jesus and the gift of hopeful confidence and wholeness and wellness that comes with it, regardless of the worldly circumstances in which we find ourselves. Because we should regularly find ourselves in the circumstances of the one leper or the 3 soldiers, returning and saying thank you as often as we can. Amen.